Well, good morning, church. Good morning to you, too. Amen. Let me ask you a few questions. Do we have any singers in here this morning? Raise your hand. Any singers? Do we have any dancers in here this morning? I got a couple of those. Probably more dancers in their homes, I'm sure. If I'm dancing, I don't want anybody to see that, right? How about any shouters? Do we have any shouters here this morning? Got a couple of them. Okay. Well, those three categories of people will come in handy during this song. Okay, let's stand and worship the Lord. Should astound us. It should cause us to sing. It should cause us to dance. It should cause us to shout. Oh Lord, just give us a glimpse of your goodness this day. God, I just thank you, Father, for opportunities to give. Lord, just use this offering today for your glory. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I need to turn my cell phone off. Had our church service streaming on my phone. Sorry about that. I hear myself praying. Go ahead and bring your offering if you'd like to.
Rising. may be seated. Invite the children to come and join Miss Carlene for Children's Church this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Wylie United Methodist Church. Glad that you are with us this morning here in person, and glad for our live stream audience as well. All right. Get those kiddos taken care of. Trevor is on call this weekend, was not able to be here, so we appreciate Billy filling in for us this morning. Way to go, Billy. Woohoo! Did somebody hear? No. That was really, 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 really bad. Okay, I was telling people, I took the deal off that showed my birthday because I didn't want that right there. And somebody found out about it in for various ways. But, I turned 60 today. But I have felt 60 for 20 years. So it's matching up. So it's good. That's a good thing. Anyway, thank you for that. Poor rendition of Happy Birthday. Appreciate that. It is a blessing to be at this church. It's a blessing to be your pastor, and it's a blessing to be loved by you. I hope you know that you're loved by me as well. I have no idea what I'm up here doing right now. I think we're going to pray here in just a moment, but before we do that, a couple of things. If you are visiting with us today, I am really glad that you're here. We hope you feel welcome. Hope you feel the love of Christ. And last week, we had someone visiting first time with us online that let us know that they were doing that. You can go to our Wylie Methodist app, and there is a tag that you can go to where you can register as a guest. You can also, if you're a member, you can register your attendance with us as well. We would love to do that. I'd love to know that you were here at the end of the service for our guest. I'll be out of the foyer down at this end. I would love to meet you and have a free gift for you. I'm going to invite you to stand if you're able. We're going to recite the Apostles' Creed this morning. You know, this creed, sometimes you say something so many times and it just kind of becomes words. But I want you to just listen to the words of this creed. Christians have been reciting this creed for a couple of thousand years together, and it is the foundation of our faith. The things that we will be stating here are the very core and foundation of what we believe as followers of Christ. So let's recite this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Just a reminder, that word Catholic it means universal. As we spend some time in prayer this morning, we've got all sorts of things going on in our nation, in our world. I'll be talking some about that today in the message, but I just think that what I feel led to pray today is that any heaviness that is on us because of all this, or maybe it's even other circumstances that don't have anything to do with the things that are kind of happening in our world, but just that God would lift any kind of heaviness from us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father, you are the God of order. You're not the God of chaos. You bring everything into order. You bring everything into alignment. Father, it's sin that brings chaos and destruction and death. And so, Lord, we want you. We exalt you. You are the King of Kings. You're the Alpha. You're the Omega. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the God of all comfort. You're our Savior. You're our Lord. You're our friend. And I do, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would lift this virus. I pray that Father, even in the midst of the circumstances, that you would lift the heaviness that seems to be upon all of us. Father, as David prayed in the Psalms, that restore to us the joy of your salvation, because nothing we face is bigger and more significant than that. You loved us enough to send Jesus. He bled and died for us, and the tomb could not hold him. And because he lives, we live. And we rejoice in that. So come, Holy Spirit, send your Spirit, not only to this service and not only to the homes as they listen to this service this morning, but Father, as we go about our business, as we go about the week and the days and the weeks and the months ahead, Father, may we have freedom. May we walk in freedom. May we be light and salt to a world that is hurting and needs those things. We need Jesus. Father, just kind of thinking, we seem to be in an angry world right now. May we as Christians be, may we be peace in the midst of that. And we can only do that through the power of your Spirit. So we cry out to you, Holy Spirit. Come and impact us. Come and live through us. Jesus, as you have said in your word, that we would be your ambassadors. We would be about the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus, we pray the prayer now together that your Father, that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our Tuesday morning men's Bible study, we're in Galatians. In the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the freedom that Jesus won for us on the cross. Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. He set us free so we can enjoy that freedom. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So that freedom through the Holy Spirit is available here this morning from discouragement, despair, frustration, illness, addiction. It's here. And we're going to sing about that freedom. So I just invite you to stand as we worship.
There is
Good morning once again. Turn with me, if you would, to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James is attributed to Jesus' brother, half-brother. Did you know that? Are you awake? Anybody awake out there? All right, we got a hoo-hoo. All right. It's interesting because from what we know about James, he was not a believer. Can you imagine growing up as Jesus' brother? Can you, and your mom saying something like, "Why can't you be more like Jesus?" Yeah, maybe that. I don't know if that happened, but perhaps it did. But they saw him as their brother, and he turned to Christ. Something changed for him. Something changed for him. He must have seen his brother's lifeless body come down off a cross and then saw him teaching 3 days later. James 3, verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. We pray now that you would speak. Holy Spirit, you would speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I ran across a social media post this week. We've kind of got the face mask debate going on in our nation. I ran across a post from a pastor, not in Abilene, but in another state. And I'm not kidding you, this pastor went on, it was about a 12 to 14 minute rant. I mean, angry rant about face masks. And I won't go into the whole deal, but I mean, it wasn't like just his opinion that you shouldn't wear a face mask, but I mean, it was an angry rant, okay? Now, I'm not telling you if you're in the face mask wearing group or you're in the non-face wearing group that one's right or the other. I mean, I'm going to let the Lord work that out with you, but what struck me was the anger that this message was being delivered by this pastor. Now, he talked about that he likes coffee and he likes what's the donut place? Dunkin'. He's a Dunkin' Donut coffee fan. And he would go in the morning and get two cups of coffee, and he put so much cream and sugar, and then in the afternoon he'd go get two more cups. Well, first, that's a lot of coffee, but anyway. So he's talking about how every day he did this, and they'd never asked him to wear a mask, and he walked in one day to get his coffee, and the manager came and insisted that he wear a mask, and he rebelled against that, and they ended up getting in a shouting match. And when he left with his coffee, his story is he opened the door and he put his foot down to prop the door open to walk out, and the manager said that he was trying to kick his door out. And this came from the pastor's mouth. He said, I might as well go ahead and say it because I'm sure they have it on video. He said, I told the manager if I came back and he tried to keep me from coming in to get my coffee without my mask, he said, I will kick his teeth down his throat. And so I did a little, I was like, who is this pastor? So I did a little research and I went to his church website and so forth. And it cracks me up. And then, like I say, they're in Tennessee, another state. But the website for the church says our purpose as a church is to invite people into the full abundant life of Jesus in the kingdom and stuff. And I'm thinking, you better have a talk with your pastor. Because words have power. There's an impact. And that's today's sermon, is the impact of words. So there's nothing wrong with having an opinion about these things that we're going through. But I'm like, man, I'm wondering how many people that observed that in that Dunkin' Donuts that morning. I'm wondering how many people he attracted to Christ that morning. With the way he conducted himself, with the words that he was saying, and the anger at which he delivered those words. Man, words have an impact, church. In this, there's many times that someone says something to me, or I get an angry email, or I get this or that, and I have to check my heart. Like, I'm not going to respond right away. I'm gonna let the Holy Spirit do a little work on me before I respond. It's not just because someone says something tacky or ugly to us does not give us a green light to just lash out and just, man. I think this is important. I think it's important. Words, first point I want us to talk about today. Words are powerful. Words have power. And there's this passage today. It's like a bit in a horse's mouth. It's like a ship's rudder. It's like a small spark that starts a big forest on fire. There's power in that. And I'm just going to hit these really quickly. But Jesus spoke the universe. God, the Trinity was there. But God spoke the universe into existence with a word. God said, let there be. God said, it's nine times in Genesis 1, it says, God said. God spoke the universe into existence. Jesus healed with words, be clean, and immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus showed mercy with words and forgiveness. Neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Now go and leave your life of sin. Jesus raised the dead with words, Lazarus, come out. Words have power. Jesus completed his work on this earth, the redemption of our soul, on the cross, he said, it is finished. He stated this purpose that he came to reconcile us to the Father. Our words have power as well. We profess our salvation with the spoken word. Listen to Romans 10, says it this way. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess are saved. Words have power. I tell people, especially when I'm baptizing someone that's younger, sometimes, you know, and even older adults can get this way, we get embarrassed in front of people, and I tell them, when I ask you, do you repent of your sin? Do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, I say, this isn't good enough. Say it. You got to say it. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Words are powerful. Now, secondly, words have the power to build up or tear down. I mean, they're powerful, and they're not always used in a positive way. James, the passage we just read today, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. Brothers and sisters, this shouldn't be. Think about it. The very same mouth that we proclaim Jesus as Lord, what else comes out of there? And think about with our coworkers, with random people that we don't know at Dunkin' Donuts or wherever, with our spouse. I remember Cheryl and I, and y'all have heard some of this, but Cheryl and I in our early years, I was even more of a knucklehead back then than I am now. And I remember back when Cheryl and I used to fight, it's like my goal was to win. It didn't really matter how I won, as long as I won. And I have learned that words have power. They can build up or they can tear down. So even when Cheryl and I are arguing now, I understand that I can't just fly off and say anything I want to, because it has power, it has impact. So we have to watch our words. 1 Thessalonians 5, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. That's the heart of God for us. Hebrews 10, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. That's a whole nother sermon. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I don't know, I'm not a prophetic pastor that's going to tell you all this, you know, start unpacking Revelation and Daniel and all this stuff and tell you, you know, a certain year that Jesus is coming back. But it's closer today than it was yesterday, I promise you. And I'm telling you, there's signs everywhere. We better get our hearts right. And we better be about God's business. Let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. The day's approaching. So we should be encouraging one another. Thirdly, words reveal what's on the inside. They reveal what's on the inside. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, I want you to think about, and this is not a message of condemnation, but because we've all been there. We've all said things we wish we hadn't said, and generally to people we love. That's who usually gets our wrath, isn't it? You know, we can see people that are just casual acquaintances, and we're like, oh, how's your day been? It's really nice. And then we get home, and mama or daddy, here we go, or children. Reveals what's on the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. Now, so I want you to think about some of those times when we didn't maybe do this too well. And I'm in there. I'm in there with you. Just think about, is that stuff bubbling out of our heart? Is there something going on in here that's causing those words to come out? Proverbs, I love this proverb. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. A man of understanding is even tempered. I love this. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. Don't you love that? So if you're not all that bright, I'm an extrovert. I talk a lot. Introverts can make me really, really nervous. And Billy Cram, don't be hiding under the chair back there. Our staff, we'll be meeting, and we'll have staff, and I'll go, so how's it going? How's it going, everybody? And it's like crickets, man. And I had to kind of, Brent saves me since Brent got here. Brent likes to talk like I do, so Brent will have something to say. But so many times it's like crickets. It's like, man, silence can be unnerving, can it? Especially if we're used to talking. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. And we're encouraged to watch our tongue. And then finally, fourth point, words should bring praise to God. Words should be praise to God. If you look at the Psalms, I tell you, just be in the Psalms. From, you know, make that a habit that you just kind of read the Psalms. Because many times David or whoever's written the Psalm, they're going through stuff we've gone through or are going through. Did you know that there's 150 Psalms, 209 times in those 150 Psalms we're encouraged to praise the Lord. Did you know that? And it's not all like, hey, life is good, life is great, life is wonderful, praise the Lord. Sometimes it's like, my enemies are trying to kill me, my soul is downcast, life is tough, but I'm going to praise the Lord. Words should bring praise to the Lord. Here's three Psalms that I wanted to just real briefly look at. Psalm 9, 1 and 2. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I've said this before, but I call them freeze-dried Christians. You ever been around a freeze-dried Christian? It's like, well, you're a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. You love Jesus? Yeah. Did he die? Yeah. I mean, it's like, man, we should be the most joyful people that walk the face of the earth. Because we know who we are. We know that God loves us. We know that he proved it through his son, Jesus. And so, yes, I know life comes at us, but and it's hard. But, man, we know. We know things. 209 times in the Psalms, God was praised. Psalm 34, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. It doesn't say his praise sometimes if things are going really well be on my lips. No, it says I will praise him at all times. And that's when it's really powerful. I mean, if you're going through a difficult time like right now, if you're going through difficult times, difficult circumstances, and, man, you got all the reason in the world to be a whiny honey, you can say that from the pulpit. It's in the Bible. And yet you praise God in the midst of that. There's power in that, I'm telling you. People look at that and go, wow, man, the world is hammering that dude, and he is praising God, and he's joyful. What's up with that? Psalm 103, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It's one of my favorite psalms. There's a great song that comes from Psalm 103. So, words have power, church. They have the power to build up or to tear down. We have the power and the knowledge to be a people of praise. So how are we doing with our words, church, in this time of uncertainty and kind of craziness? I'm telling you, man, and I've said this for several weeks now in a row, but, I mean, if you turn on the news or you read stuff or whatever, I mean, you're going to get bombarded with negative stuff. It's just what's happening. It happens all the time, but it was really happening right now. So how are we doing with how we're responding to that? Are we threatening to kick the kick the teeth out of the down guy's throat at Dunkin' Donuts? I mean, I'm sorry, that made an impact on me. This man is a man of God. That's supposed to be about leading people to Christ. It's Romans tells us that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's not angry Christians, I'm telling you. It's not angry Christians that are going to lead people to the kingdom. So how are we doing with our words? Is God being glorified in our speech? Is there someone in your life that perhaps needs your encouragement? Perhaps it needs an apology. Talked with someone recently who had some people in their life that they knew they needed to apologize to. And I think that was a blessing to me for that person to confess that and say, I need to do that. Ask Jesus and the Holy Spirit to take control of our words. Hebrews says it this way, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice meaning that it's not always easy. It's not always doesn't just come naturally and instinctively because of our circumstances, but sacrificially, continually offer to God praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. I hope the Lord's convicting you as He has convicted me that we need to guard our words, guard our tongue. Let's pray. I invite the praise team to come on up. Father, forgive me when I have used words that don't bring You glory and that don't build others up. I want to do better, Lord. I don't want to have a tongue that curses men. I want to be about encouraging other people, building each other up. Help us, Lord, because it's hard. It's hard. Father, in that journey starts in our heart. Let us recognize, Lord, when we're dealing with other people, we have the power to bless or to curse. We praise You, O God, for what You have done, what You are doing, and what You will do. And we trust You in the midst of uncertainty and confusion and chaos. We trust You because You're God. Nothing has surprised You. Nothing is more powerful than You. So with our words, with our mouth, we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite you to stand if you're able for this closing song. The altar rail is open. Again, a reminder, I will be out in the foyer. Would love to meet our guests. For those of you online worshiping at home, I pray blessings on you as well.
I decided to follow Jesus. I have decided before me, the
us continue to offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Go and encourage one another. Go and tell. In Jesus' name, we are dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus Himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.